From KQED.
This is The Leap. I'm Judy Campbell.
And I'm Amy Standen. This is the first episode in our second season. We're so glad to be back. But first, a warning that this episode contains some strong language and themes, so you may not want to play it in front of kids. Here's Judy.
Black Bear Ranch was a commune started in the late 60s deep in the Siskiyou Mountains in Northern California. They had a motto, free land for free people. Mostly a bunch of city kids, hippies, and anarchists working on this utopian idea that you don't just change politics, you change the way you live. You start a new world. So they taught themselves to build, farm, and hunt in this harsh, beautiful landscape 3 hours from the nearest supermarket. And that's where Creek Hanauer met Meredith.
Marigold. Meridew, very light, very open, a musician, flute, guitar, singer. She was a nurturer. She grew things. She was in the garden. Yeah, she was lovely. Easy to fall in love with.
And about 5 years into commune life, in 1973, they had a baby girl. They named her Tecelia. Tecelia is now 43 years old. Until she was five, she lived on Black Bear Ranch.
I have a very rosy picture of Black Bear. It was a really idyllic place for me.
Commune life. People always around, endless woods to play in. Tecelia and her mother slept together in a dome. And there were also lots of other moms and dads to help raise her, and so many kids, including a bunch of older ones she looked up to.
They kind of took me under their wings or took care of me or like really kind of felt like I was their baby. Very cared for by the community, by the kids, by the other women.
Her dad, Creek, says not everyone found life on that commune easy. There were constant negotiations, personal dynamics, the strain of building a new society from scratch, off the grid. It wore people down. But the place suited little Tecelia.
She was one of the golden children of the ranch. No matter how you feel about things, they're our favorite kids. And kids who just win you. She was one of them. She was a kid who attracted people. People liked her. So she got a lot of very good attention that other kids didn't necessarily get.
When Tecelia was 5 years old, things abruptly changed. A group of newcomers showed up and set up camp at Black Bear. They called themselves Shiva Lila, a group of itinerant hippies looking for a place to raise children. Shiva Lila's founder was a guy named Gridley Wright. He was thin, with flowing clothes, a beard, a Jesus look.
He was a philosopher. He was a talker. He was dynamic. He, like, really could bring people into his Not like, I don't even think in a dark way necessarily. He was just a really dynamic person.
Gridley Wright was a Yale graduate and former stockbroker who took a whole bunch of acid, had a lot of revelations, and eventually started this nomadic community of people who thought they could evolve humanity by breaking apart basic social structures, really basic, like the bond between a mother and her child. Wright thought if those bonds were broken, if people didn't own their children, if the whole idea of mother and fathers went away and kids were raised collectively, children would be stronger, more resilient, less egocentric. A group consciousness would emerge that would eventually transform society. And that's what attracted Gail Custis to join. She first met Wright in Golden Gate Park when she was a young mother.
He was communicating with a six-month-old baby as if she were a sentient being and not a baby.
Wright told Gail about his child-centric philosophy and his group, Shiva Lila, that he was looking for women and children to join them.
So then I decided to go with him, and he immediately took the diaper off my baby, and I kind of, and he then picked her up and put her on his hip like a third world mother, tucked the diaper into his shirt and said, no, it's okay. She'll tell me if she needs to pee. She won't pee on me.
There aren't many recordings of Wright, but here's one. It's from a documentary about the commune at Black Bear Ranch.
You see, part of my trip is that I don't have any children. I don't have any family that is mine, and everybody I'm with is me.
His vision was way beyond anything happening at Black Bear. Tecelia says her mother, Meredith, had been searching for a more radical way to live. Her mother was fascinated by Gridley Wright when he came to Black Bear Ranch. She went into a teepee with him, took LSD, and talked for hours.
He somehow turned her mind toward what they were doing in such a way that she never went back, like, not once.
Of course, little Tecilia didn't know about any of this at the time. She was just 5 years old when the Shiva Lila came to Black Bear.
The only way I was brought into awareness of them being on our ranch was that they had clothes with them. And at Black Bear, we were not attached to anything. We would get our clothes from the barn loft where you would just have this big pile. And if you needed something, you could get it there. And I just don't even remember caring about anything like that. But I remember they had a cute pair of jeans and I put them on. I was like, ooh, I'm in my jeans. And I think it was the first time I was even aware of my own self or aware of my own body or something appealing that I wanted. I don't think I'd ever really wanted for anything. And I just remember like having this like desire type of experience for these jeans.
So 5-year-old Tecilia is strutting around the ranch in her too tight new jeans with her new self-awareness when someone tells her that her mom's boyfriend, a guy named Jeff, is looking for her. Tecilia's parents had split up at this point and her mother had a new baby with Jeff. So Tecilia heads off to the pond to meet him.
The pond was sort of the center of our like play life at Black Bear, and it was fed by this beautiful stream that comes in from the creek.
Jeff was standing by the pond, conferring with a bunch of people Tecilia didn't know, Shiva Lila people. He looked uncomfortable. One of the strangers told Jeff to pick up Tecilia and throw her in.
He threw me in the pond, and I had jeans on and couldn't swim and was drowning. And no one had ever, that I could remember, ever done anything mean to me. And so I was trying to grapple with that. Like, why would someone do this? No one was coming to save me. I'm sinking underneath. You're in the pond. You can sort of see because it's sort of like a filtered, dusty light in the pond. And I just remember that feel of constriction of the jeans it kind of makes me feel suffocaty right now. Like, no one coming to get me. And I just found my way to the bottom and crawled up to the shore and then looked at these people who were not really laughing or mocking, but that was what it felt like. And I just was kind of horrified. Like, how could the world do that to me?
Jeff was being tested. Could he rise above his attachment to Tecilia? Could he break that bond, essentially give her up to the group? This was Gridley Wright's whole idea.
He felt like if you broke that bond that you would create more what they called children of the world and mothers of the world, or more of a tribal mindset, so that you would really have more of a universal consciousness and awareness and love and kindness and place in your heart. So I could love you as much as I could love any other person. You don't have to be my mother.
For Tecilia, though she didn't realize it at the time, that moment at the pond was the beginning of a new reality. Her childhood was about to become an experiment in someone else's philosophy. And it could be brutal. Shiva Lila was all about forcing the truth, however cruel and painful that could be. Members used LSD and long encounter sessions designed to expose conflict.
They were all about like pushing buttons and ripping your ego to shreds, and they had a very pushy approach.
Just unreal. The drugs, the anger.
Creek, Tecilia's dad, says he couldn't stand them.
They're just playing games all the time. Fuck you. You know, in my face about this and that, and then just friendly as hell and smiling. Oh, it's just so great. And then...
Creek wasn't alone. Most of the people at Black Bear were fed up. The Shiva Lila were trying to take over their commune and stay on the land. So the Black Bear people decided to kick them off. Tecilia's mom wanted to follow them.
My mom had decided to go. Like, that was that. And so it was left up to Jeff, me, and Forrest to decide whether we were going with her.
Forrest was Tecilia's baby brother. He was 9 months old at the time. Tecilia was 5. And that idea of choice, that kids are wise enough to make their own decisions, that is core to Shiva Lila's philosophy. It was up to Tecilia to decide if she was going with her mom or not.
Everyone at Black Bear, because they hated Shiva Lila so much, wanted me to stay.
Tecilia remembers at that last moment, her mom was in the car getting ready to leave. A group of women and girls from the commune were physically holding Tecilia, trying to get her to stay.
She was in a car ready to leave, and we were outside the main house. And this group was it was almost like a holding force, like, okay, you guys need to get off our property. And I was kind of with them.
Tecilia doesn't remember what happened next. She was told about it later. And what she did still haunts her.
basically, I guess what I did is I kind of assessed her leaving, looked at them, and then turned to everyone at Black Bear, all of my allies and friends and mothers and sisters, and showed them the middle finger and said, fuck you. Now, that isn't me, but that is Shiva Leela. Fuck you is something that rattles adults and messes with their ego, and they don't know how to handle it. And so you can just do it in this like way just to kind of mess with them. So that's what I did. How did those people feel? How did Black Bear feel to have like this child? I mean, people loved me and they did nothing but keep me safe. And so I think it was, so heartbreaking. Like, what worse thing could you do? So I tell it like it's a choice, but there was no choice for me. I just want to be with her.
She just wanted to be with her, her mother. So to Celia, and also Jeff, and the baby Forrest, they all followed her mother in the Shiva Leela. First, they camped in a national forest nearby, about 24 of them in all. But pretty soon, Tecilia's mother left, sent away by the Shiva Leela on some task.
That's when it first became clear to me that the things were not going to be the way that I expected. That was the first, like, that I was totally separated from her and not allowed to be with her.
The separation was part of the Shiva Leela plan. Tecilia had lived with her mother for 5 years. They had a strong bond. It would take a severance, a cutting off, for Tecilia and her mom to break that parental bond and give themselves up to the communal experience. Gridley Wright wanted Shiva Leela to live with tribal cultures, where, he said, collective unity is a living reality. He was intrigued by the Tasadé in the Philippines. So the group, with Tecilia and Forrest and Jeff, but without Tecilia's mom, Meredith, went there.
Part of their plan was to leave us with families around the world. So that was one way to break the bond and also learn how to be children of the world. And
leave the kids.
Yes.
On their own.
Yes. So they would find families in the countries that we went to and through for whatever, either out of curiosity. I don't believe that they ever paid them anything to have us, but they would find families. They'd talk to them about our, you know, this experiment we were doing, and so they would eventually find a family that was willing to take one of us, not for periods of time, just so we can learn from each other.
When they got to the Philippines, the baby, Forrest, was sent to live with one family, strangers. Tecilia was sent with another one.
They left me with these people. I'm like, I do not like you. Who are you? Like, so that was my first approach, was just to be like, no. But they basically wouldn't let me go because they were, I don't know, whatever. They weren't supposed to. I was supposed to stay with them.
She says she didn't get why she was there. She didn't speak the language. She missed her mom. So Tecilia decided to run away.
Eventually, they left me at home with the girl, and she had to go to the market. And she told me I could go with her if I promised to hold her hand the whole way. But I definitely had escape in mind. And I mean, I don't even know how could I know this and how did I even know where I was. But basically, we got to the road and we were walking along, and I knew we weren't that far from where the Shiva Leela house was. And it was, I just remember it was like warm, hot dirt road. And it was like a straight shot ahead of me. And I told her I needed to bend down to tie my shoe. So she let my hand go, and I bent down and I just bolted away. And got back to the Shiva Leela house. And I was so proud of myself. Oh my God, I got home. Like, how cool is that?
But the Shiva Leela people weren't proud of her, and they weren't happy to see her. She wasn't following their plan to become a child of the world. Still, they let her stay. During this time, Forrest, the baby, was really suffering. He'd never acclimated to the move to the Philippines and being without his mother. He cried all the time. By the time he got sent back by the Filipino family he had been assigned to, he was in even worse shape.
He wasn't healthy. He was malnourished. He just cried a lot. And so through the course of that, and Jeff seeing that Meredith was gone and there was no way we were going to get her, or he wasn't going to get her back, and Forrest wasn't doing well, he made an incredibly smart decision. And he decided to leave the group and take Forrest back to Black Bear, which
And I don't know where his decision laid with me, because I do, I mean, he's like a father to me in a lot of ways. I didn't go with them. And I don't think he felt like he could take me, because I really was my mom's child.
So Jeff and Forrest left. Meredith, Decilia's mother, was still gone. 5-year-old Decilia stayed. And if life with the Shiva Leela up till now had been tough, it was about to get worse. Coming up after the break.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone, hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years? Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles? The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone, hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years? Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles. The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Leap. When we left off, Decilia was in the Philippines with Shiva Leela, without Jeff, Forrest, or her mother. And the contrast between what she had had just months before at Black Bear was startling. There she'd been surrounded by her family and so many people who loved her. Communal living there meant establishing more connections, getting more love. With Shiva Leela, Decilia didn't feel connected to anyone. She felt like she'd gone from a place where everyone loved her to a place where no one did.
It was just me. It was like they took my mom away, and then they didn't really give you a replacement figure to really watch out for you. So it wasn't like there was some new person that I like really bonded with, or some other kid who really felt like a strong ally. So there wasn't really someone who just like started taking care of me.
No one was supposed to feel special or different. They were to rise above their egos, form a collective consciousness. So there were no birthdays. Kids didn't know how old they were. They didn't distinguish between children's genders. They wore a kind of unisex uniform, plain drab clothes and short cropped hair. There were no toys or books. The Shiva Leela felt that children are naturally wise, imaginative, and free, and exposure to books gets in the way of that. So the kids weren't taught to read, and they got new names.
They started referring to me as Tossaday, and at first I hated it, because your identity is your name. And especially for someone else to just say, this is who you are. And so I remember holding on to like, I'm Decilia. But they teased me about it, and her kind of the kids, probably instigated by the adults, they harassed me enough about like who Decilia was. And like it was this person that I would want to slough off, this like weak crybaby kind of person who was attached to her mommy and lived at Black Bear and needed all those things. And so Tossaday was like a stronger, more fierce, self-sufficient person. And so that is who I was for the longest time. Just actually then didn't even remember Decilia, honestly.
After a few months in the Philippines, the Shiva Leela moved on. They went to India. Until now, in Tecilia's eyes, the whole Shiva Leela experiment was mostly sad. She desperately missed her mother. But in India, it turned into an actual tragedy.
So then we went to India, and I don't know how they chose their location, but they chose the town of Manali, and it was wintertime. And they didn't know this at the time, but a lot of people had left this particular town because there was an epidemic of diphtheria. And the kids were unimmunized, and the kids got sick almost immediately.
Decilia didn't get sick. She was kept in another room.
I remember being in the room and hearing the kids next to me, like just coughing uncontrollably.
Remember Gail? That's the woman who met Gridley Wright, the leader of Shiva Leela, in Golden Gate Park, and she loved the way he talked to her child. Well, after Gail joined Shivalila, she was separated from her two kids, just like Meredith, Decelia's mother, had been. Gail and Meredith had been sent to Africa to find land for the Shivalila. They ran out of money, and Gail says they ended up being away far longer than they wanted to be, about 3 months. They hadn't seen their kids since the Shivalila went abroad. Finally, the two moms got to a guest house in India, where they were supposed to go to find out where their children were living.
He and his wife opened the door, and they said, "Which one of you are Gail?" And I said, "I am." And he said, "Come in and sit down." And his wife said, "Do you have to tell them right away?" And he said, "Yes." And so we sat down, and they told me that my son, Ray's, was dead. And I fell on the floor, you know, just bawling and screaming and cursing and everything, and then sat up, and they said, "And one of the babies died." And then they told me that my daughter had died too. So that was the first thing that I learned when I got to India, was that my kids were dead.
Four of the Shivalila kids died of diphtheria and pneumonia in India, including Roshi, the daughter of the group's leader, Gridley Wright.
He brought her body out wrapped in just like hand-hewn cloth, which was what we did, was if a kid died, they would wrap them in cloth and then cremate them. And so that was her. Like, he had been in there wrapping up her body in this cloth, and they were getting the fire ready to cremate her. And that was kind of how, like, and at least in my memory, how quickly that happened.
And it's around this time, when Tecelia is getting close to 6 years old, that she has a surprisingly adult-like realization. She can't trust the Shivalila to keep her safe.
I almost remember it as like a dream, in a dreamscape, realizing that, oh my God, these people, they don't have my best interest in mind. Like, if anyone is going to get me through this or protect me, it's going to be me.
Shivalila had a way of dealing with conflict, problems, crisis. Whenever the group needed to work out something, like the death of the children, the adults would drop acid and hash it all out. They did a lot of LSD. It was part of their process. They would also sometimes dose the kids without the kids knowing. Tecelia remembers it happening to her maybe half a dozen times. It would be slipped into her juice at breakfast, and a bit later, Tecelia would start to feel funny and think, oh no, here we go again. The first time she remembers it happening is in India, sometime after the kids died. One of the adults took her on a hike.
I just remember, like, just sensations beginning to shift and colors getting really bright and getting a real strong tactile sense. And all, like, it was like the world was kind of shifting. So it was almost like the change that was going on outside of me was actually happening in me. And we walked toward a temple, and I remember there being, like, statue lions outside of the temple, and we walked in. And feeling the doors close, and then feeling like the temple was a spaceship that was going off into space. And then I rose out of my body, seeing my human self down below, and thinking that I just remember feeling like I was in space and there was never going to be a return.
It was really scary. Eventually, she came back into her body and opened the door.
I felt completely alone in this temple, and opening the door and seeing the trees and stars, and actually being so relieved that it was Earth, but then going, oh my God, I didn't know where I was or how I was going to get out of there. And then there was this small building right next to the main temple, and in my mind, it almost looks like a doghouse. It was probably like a small shrine, and it was like my size and comforting. And so I went into that, and kind of, while I was still scared and didn't know how I was ever going to get home or where home was or if anyone was going to come and get me, being comforted by just being able to be warm in a small space and kind of realizing that I could take care of myself in that moment.
She falls asleep there, and when she wakes up, she's so relieved to see there's a path to lead her away from there.
And there's a trail right next to me, and I just started following the trail down the hill. And I was walking down the trail, and all of a sudden, this thing, person, jumped out from behind a rock and was like, boo!
It was Tecelia's mother. Cecilia hadn't seen her for months, since right after they left Black Bear. And now, at the end of this acid trip, there she was.
The first thing I felt was completely betrayed. To know that she may have been connected to that experience, maybe she was there the whole time, or maybe another adult was there the whole time, and they let me go through that, and they didn't do anything.
Cecilia's sole goal, her only wish during this whole period, was to be with her mother, to be loved by her mother. So now her mother was back for a time, but Cecilia wasn't getting what she wanted from her. There weren't any I love yous, no hugs. There had been none of that since she joined the Shiva Lila.
She had this very, like, almost like expressionless, serious face where she didn't, at least with me, she wouldn't smile a lot. I think because she was just trying to be so strong or be, I don't know what, but like do what she felt like she needed to do to be in the group and grow and overcome her attachments.
And Cecilia found herself searching for any sign, any crumb that her mother might give her, that her mother noticed her or cared.
But I could tell when she was either worried or thinking about something, because her lip would twitch, like the corner of her mouth would like do this. And I loved that there was something, like some way that I could reach her.
After about a year in India, the founder of the group, Gridley Wright, died. And things got even harder for Cecilia. She had a terrible relationship with the woman who stepped in to fill his leadership role, Kamala. Cecilia felt she favored the other kids over her, and Cecilia bucked against her authority. They fought a lot. Meanwhile, her mother would come and go, off on jobs to make money for the Shiva Lila to survive, and Cecilia was sent off to various families. It all felt so lonely. Cecilia remembers one tiny moment that seems to sum up the whole time for her. It was when she took a walk by herself and found this weird plant.
And I remember touching this plant, and the plant moved. It's some sort of feeling plant. I can't remember what it's called, but it retracts with human touch. It was almost like I had more connection to that plant, and the plant responded to me, but no one in the group would. I think the hardest thing for me about Shiva Lila was that people weren't very responsive to you. So the plant was like directly responding to my contact with it. Whereas the adults, it wouldn't matter what I felt. Nobody cared what I felt. Nobody cared if I was sad. Anything.
Finally, when Cecilia was nearly 9 years old, after being abroad close to 4 years, the group returned to the United States and eventually made their way to Eugene, Oregon. And that's where, one day, something extraordinary happened. It started after Cecilia got into a huge fight with Kamala, the woman who was now acting as leader of Shiva Lila.
She was so angry at me, and my mom was about to leave. She actually let me leave with my mom, which she had never done before. She just wanted me out of there. And she let me get in the car with my mom, which really changed my life.
Cecilia was finally allowed to be with her mom. She couldn't believe it. Her mother was going on a tree planting job for Shiva Lila, and Cecilia was able to stay and work with her for a while. One day they took a drive.
We drove into this town one day, and it was only when we were like pulling into the town that she said, "We know people here." And we were pulling up at the post office in Forks of Salmon.
That's the tiny town closest to Black Bear Ranch, the commune where Cecilia was raised until she was 5.
And she said, "We know people here," like the most casual thing. I was like, "Okay." And we walked into the post office. It turned out my dad was there. And she was like, "And this is your father." And I looked up and there was this really tall, totally handsome, smiling man who I had never even conceptualized before, because as I said, we weren't taught that we had mothers and fathers. And I didn't even know that such a human existed. And then this was mine. This is your father.
Her father got down on his knees so he could look her in the eyes. He asked her if she wanted to join him on a dump run.
One thing led to another, and I was able to go home with him and stay with him for 3 days. 3 days while she went back on her tree planting job.
Her father, Creek, was living with a woman, Betty Ann, in a tiny mining cabin about a mile hike in from the road. And Cecilia still remembers first walking into that house and meeting Betty Ann.
Betty Ann was canning. And I remember, and she still has this apron. She had this beautiful floral apron, and she was in the kitchen, and she didn't have a shirt underneath it. And she just seemed so, like, peaceful and in her element and just canning. And she was probably canning peaches around that time of year or blackberry jam. And it was just so, like, warm and homey.
Decelia hadn't felt anything homey in a very long time.
It was amazing driving into a town where people knew me. I mean, I'd never, ever had that before, and I didn't know it existed. And people were like, oh, Tecelia. And I, of course, was like, my name's Tossaday. And I would definitely had none of the Tecelia thing initially. And they were so welcoming and, like, loving. And, like, I was kind of like a long-lost soldier, like someone who'd come back that they weren't sure that they would ever see again.
Creek and Betty Ann worked in the town school, and so they brought Tecelia with them. And even though she was almost 9 years old, she didn't know how to read. So they parked her with the preschool teacher for the day.
And I remember sitting down in the circle of all these little kids, like 3, 4, and 5 year olds, and I'm 8, and just towering over them. And she sat down in front of them and started reading a book with the words facing us. And it was the first time I'd ever seen someone. Because I'd seen people reading to themselves, but I'd never had that process of, like, she took the words on the page and transferred the message to us. Like, it was, it looked like magic to me. And I just was like, I want to figure out how to do that. It became this, it's crazy because maybe there's just moments in your life where that happens, but it was like the guiding force at that point in my life. So apparently at the end of that day, I went home to Creek and Betty Ann and I asked if I could live with them.
She doesn't remember a pause. They just said yes. At her father's house, they cleared a space for her, one small shelf. She'd never had a shelf with a Shiva Lila. She never had anything to put on a shelf. And in that day, her life shifted. She was, in effect, giving up on the chase, giving up on her mom. But she was also fiercely going toward something. She chose a different life. Reading, community, school, being part of a family with her dad.
So I really got to believe there was just this whole cosmic tumbleweed of stuff. You know, me kneeling down, talking to her, she going to school, Betty Ann being the one that she meets. And then her mother, bless her pointed little head. Her mother couldn't say no, could not say no. Because the fucking Shiva Lila thing was, if your kid is adamant about something, she couldn't not let her do it. As much as she wanted to, and she wanted to not let her do it.
She truly felt like Shiva Lila was the best thing for her. She knew it was the best thing for her, and she felt it was the best thing for me, and she didn't feel like I was making the right decision, or at least is what she conveyed. But she had to honor my choice.
She agreed to let Tecelia go, to live with her father. Remember Tecelia getting thrown in that pond, sinking to the bottom, seeing that filtered light crawling her way out? Well, this is her emergence out of that pond, into the fresh air.
I had grandparents for the first time. I got to see my own grandmother, who were 50 years apart to the day. And I didn't even, you know, obviously, if I didn't know it had father, I didn't know I had grandparents. So I got to meet my grandparents for the first time. And kind of, I went on to have like a really sweet relationship.
And the whole cascade of life followed. Tecelia celebrated Christmas and her birthday for the first time. She did school plays, worked on the school paper. She became homecoming queen in high school. Betty Ann adopted her, and Tecelia now calls her mom. And Forrest, who left the Philippines with Jeff as a baby, he lived near her, and they grew up together. And now, 30-something years later, Tecelia is an editor at a publishing company. She lives in Berkeley with her husband and two kids, a 4-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy.
So for many, many years, I didn't think I wanted to have kids. And then I just realized very recently that I remembered that I had had this fear. My biggest fear having kids was that I would be detached.
Like her mother, that she couldn't help but to replicate her mother. She says she hasn't had that problem. She thinks her experiences, the terrible ones and the great ones, have made her a better parent.
So I guess it makes me feel very protective of kids, and I genuinely love them. Like, I have this capacity to love not just my own kids, but kids. And I think that's an upside of Shiva Lila and Creek and Betty Ann and Black Bear combined. Like, they really taught me the value of nurturing and protecting and valuing children.
Tecelia has spent decades trying to understand what happened during her time with the Shiva Lila and grappling with the fact that her mother wholeheartedly embraced a philosophy that essentially required abandoning her daughter. She'd never really get an explanation. Her mother died of cancer when Tecelia was 13. She remained committed to Shiva Lila till the end. That's The Leap. I'm Judy Campbell.
And I'm Amy Standen. Nick Dupre composed the music for this piece with additional music from Seth Samuel. Katie McMurrin and Rob Spate are our audio engineers. Nathan Campbell wrote and performed the song that you'll hear in a minute.
Julie Kane edited this story. The executive producer is Joanne Wallace. And special thanks to Jonathan Berman for use of the audio from his documentary, Commune.
And if you haven't already, subscribe. We have new episodes coming out every other week. And while you're at it, leave a comment in iTunes. That helps us, and it helps other people find out about the show. Thank you so much.
Leaping lizards, is that really me? I wasn't born to fly, Lord, Lord, I was born to creep. So circle your buzzards over the yawning deep. I bet all I got against your lot that I'm gonna make. I'm gonna make the leap.
I'm gonna make the leap.
I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as like the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.